Moving on to item eight, and I think you're up again for a presentation on risk diversification.
Yeah, Kat's going to run through the presentation. Let me just give a quick introduction here. So Kat Zhang joined us a year ago. Her initial project is really to take a look at this risk diversifying sub-portfolio and tell us what else it needs. She's been doing very, very diligent work, and she'll walk you through some of the research, and we're starting to bear some fruit here. She did give an update to the board back in December with her game plan, kind of a three-stage game plan for how to add things into risk diversifying portfolio to make it even more resilient and increase the return profile. She's been executing on that plan since, and here today to give you the update and talk about what some of the strategies that we've identified, what we expect them to add to the portfolio. With that, I turn it over to Kat.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see everyone. My name is Kat, and welcome to the new board members. So thank you for your time today. This is our annual review of the risk diversifying portfolio, and we'll also be giving a quick update on the current build-out process as well. So you have the presentation in front of you, and the agenda is on page two. So in Q4 of last year, as Tim mentioned, Tim and I provided an initial assessment of the RDP and the game plan for the next few years of build-outs. We outlined 3 years of research agenda, and we're now fully in execution phase, and we're about 7 months into that process. It has been a huge undertaking the last few quarters, where investment staff has spoken with close to 150 different firms, and we now have Makeda on board as well. We are close to funding a number of investments, and we'll talk through the rationale as well as the research process there. I'll wrap up the conversation today with our research pipeline and what we are looking to focus on through year end and into 2027. So slide three has the RDP portfolio objectives, just for reference. Objective one is to offset investment risk of the growth portfolio. So looking for return profiles that can help dampen market volatility across the entire portfolio. Secondary objective is for strategies that offer additional sources of return to those in the liquidity and growth portfolios, with preference for strategies that will help provide positive return as well for the overall portfolio. And then third overarching consideration is the ability to provide liquidity during times of market stress. Slide four is showing our current RDP portfolio managers with performance and analytics through the end of March, so slightly outdated, which is why we're also showing five-year data. Trailing five-year correlation metrics for the entire RDP portfolio versus the growth portfolio, so which is the first column of the table near the bottom, sits around 0.6, which is higher than desired. That is driven mostly by RDP's investments in AFL and SIT. So for example, in that same column, AFL trailing correlation is at 0.7, and the same for SIT. These metrics are calculated using monthly returns for apples to apples comparison. Beta to growth, which is the second column, is better at 0.3, and that is also driven by AFL and SIT. And when it comes to performance, five-year annualized return is sitting at around 1.6. AFL is coming in at 0.3, which is in line with the Ag Index, which is what we have them benchmarked against. While SIT and DG Partners have returned around 4 to 5% annualized, respectively, and our Treasury DFA is around 1%. So diving a bit deeper, AFL CIO performance is in line with that of the broader Ag Index, which is predominantly a combination of U.S. Treasuries, U.S. corporate bonds, and mortgage-backed securities. However, it is important to note that the underlying AFL portfolio is constructed differently and is heavily concentrated in multifamily and single-family-related mortgage-backed securities, with no corporate bond exposure and very minimal UST exposure. Total return for this portfolio is typically driven by underlying spread tightening, as well as income generated from the underlying. DG Partners has done quite well in 2026, largely driven by the underlying models' exposures to US and Asian equities. This is our trend follower, as well as playing various commodities well. That's resulted in a very strong year-to-date performance through March of up 8%. That is now up 13% through June. And very strong one-year returns as well. Of course, that follows several years where trend didn't do a whole lot. So if you look at the five-year annualized return number, that is closer to 5%, which of course includes performance prior to Cicero's investment as well. But trend continues to be a very good source of differentiated return profile for RDP, and one that will continue to warrant a position in the portfolio. SIT has performed well with the LCAR strategy that was developed for Cicero, annualizing around 4% over the last 5 years, ending March. Total return here is typically driven by a combination of exposures to taxable munis and return from active management and closed-end funds. Using monthly returns, that strategy tends to trend a bit higher than desired from a correlation and beta perspective, but has offered consistent risk-adjusted return. So we'll remain a position in the portfolio, but we may pare back some of that exposure given that it's close to 40% of RDP at this time. And then the dimensional exposure, which is DFA, that is a 50-50 portfolio benchmark to intermediate USTs and TIPS, U.S. Treasuries and TIPS, and this represents our Treasury-esque exposure for RDP. This is a newer position for RDP, and as I mentioned, they're up about 1% year-to-date. And so as part of the process for RDP and introducing new managers into the mix, we are using a combination of cash and rebalancing from some of the current exposures. So we have already rebalanced some capital away from AFL-CIO, which is currently about one-fifth of the portfolio. Again, as AFL has performed in line with the benchmark, but as we continue to consider ways to further diversify the portfolio away from the predominantly long-only fixed income tilt of the portfolio today and bring those portfolio metrics of RDP, such as correlation beta to growth down, we do believe that a reduction to AFL is in line with that focus. So slide five. This is a refresher from Q4's presentation on RDP. So what success would look like for the next iteration of build-outs. One, we'll like to see those correlation and beta metrics come down from the current levels. We'll also like to see improved drawdown profiles of the RDP versus the growth portfolio, such that they are more offsetting. So we're looking at that green line on this chart. More offsetting, less severe, and hopefully recovers quicker. And we'll also like to see stronger positive real return generation as well over time while maintaining a usable liquidity profile at the aggregate portfolio level. So the purpose of RDP, as it was, yes, sure.
So on this graph, we have the green line for risk diversify, the purple line for our growth portfolio. And we're hoping to use risk diversify to help offset the downturns in growth. Looking at the overall portfolio, so you see a deep plunge in the growth portfolio at this, you know, COVID time, right? 2022 to 2023. Optimally speaking, if risk diversify does its job, how much impact does that have on the overall portfolio? How much support does that provide so we don't see as deep of a plunge overall?
For the aggregate portfolio, including all liquidity growth and including liquidity growth and RDP, correct? So with the build out of RDP, we're hoping that that green line, especially during that COVID time period, 2020 to 2022, let's say, we want that as close to zero as possible. So right now, if you're looking at the green line, it does spend a bit of time kind of in that drawdown, right? We want to bring that line up, essentially. RDP today is around 9 to 10% of the overall portfolio. And so even if RDP shot the lights out, right, during COVID time period, it has to be weighed with the fact that it's around 10% of the overall portfolio. So there's only so much it can do. But even in that context, we want it to be robust and resilient. We want it to do its part as best as we can. And part of the overarching goal of RDP as well is to be able to provide liquidity during these market drawdown periods. And so even at 10% of the overall allocation, we're hoping that we are able to utilize some of that cash to redeploy into you know, a COVID-type scenario. Hopefully that.
Yeah, it's less of a pure protection and more of a liquid source for rebalancing to catch the rebound in the equities. That's the intended goal there.
To act on opportunity as it presents.
Yeah, and that's why you'll typically see a very lower bound to the diversifying portfolio, because it is meant to, like, if we get a big market sell-off in the equity market, we want to be able to pull from that and buy the equities at depressed prices and have the rebound there. So it is there is a fluidity between the portfolios that has to be accounted for as well.
So the purpose of RDP, as we've been discussing, and of increasing importance today, is to be that resiliency and that robustness for the overall Cicero portfolio. And we've observed this as, you know, market observers. We've heard this from industry leaders and consultants. And it's really a simple truth of the markets. But we live in uncertain and fast-moving times. So now if we look at, turn to market environment and why any of this really matters, for example, if we're on page slide 6, if we're looking at equity valuations, we are in a market environment where levels continue to climb and remain elevated. So this is showing the Shiller-Cape ratio in the dark blue. We are now at near all-time highs, with the all-time high on this chart going back to the 2000s time period. This is with a backdrop of higher rates, and it's to be determined where rates will go from here. That's, of course, also with increased concentration in the top names. So next slide shows the top 10 companies by market cap making up a bigger percentage of the S&P, now nearing 40%. And, of course, on the next slide, the story of credit, with U.S. credit spreads continuing to trade near historical tights. This is, of course, also with the backdrop of an economy that's perhaps not doing too terribly, with tailwinds from AI investments as well, et cetera. And while metrics have been stretched, that is by no means to say that a collapse is imminent. But I think we can all agree that the risks to the downside are palpable and they persist. And against this backdrop, we want to continue to improve the resiliency and robustness of RDP. And we can do that by further diversifying away from the current bias, which is toward long-only fixed income, and into that more diversified return stream. So slide 10 is the game plan, which was shared during the Q4 presentation. There's a lot of words here, but the phasing, so 1, 2, 3, refers to the research priorities as it pertains to the types of strategies and manager research, each meant to address a need. This table laid out our observations and recommended actions. Over the last several quarters, investment staff has been focused on plan execution, targeting phases 1 and 2 so far, and we'll talk through some of the research as well that we've been doing. So the next couple of slides 12 and 13. In phase 1, investment staff has been focused on finding strategies that have positive convexity and may tend to outperform during equity market drawdowns while protecting capital during more normal market periods, which ties back to one of the goals of RDP to offset some of that investment-related risk we experience elsewhere in the portfolio. So in the first half of this year, staff identified several strategies that have expertise in this space, combining a mix of more traditional tail protection type strategies with more positive carry type strategies to manage that cost of protection. Slide 13 is a hypothetical. So this is taking an equal weight to the manager's investment staff identified and that are now in underwriting phase. So the table here looks only at the phase 1 identified managers to show the historical low correlation in beta to global equity markets as measured by MSCI ACWI, credit markets as measured by Bloomberg Ag, and Cicero's growth portfolio. And this table is suggesting that the inclusion of these strategies into RDP would be value add. So for example, if we're looking at the rolling 12-month correlation versus global equities as measured by MSCI ACWI, that averages out to minus 0.5 over the last 14 years. And similarly, with the rolling 12-month beta, that averages out to minus 0.3.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
So these are managers you're evaluating. And so based on 12-month basis, the correlation is negative 0.5.
Yes. Rolling, average rolling 12-month.
Okay. How about like the returns?
Yeah, so we have, we'll talk about that as well. But great question. So slide 14, next slide, suggests that the combination of the positive convexity managers in due diligence alongside the existing trend exposure that Cicera already has in the portfolio, that would also be beneficial. So then this table is saying if I had a portfolio of only our existing trend exposure and the new managers in due diligence for phase one, how would that portfolio look versus global equities, credit, and Cicera's growth portfolio? And the answer here is still pretty good. What's more, and this is not shown on this slide, but the two different strategies also exhibit other beneficial characteristics. So for example, when markets spike down, the positive convexity strategies tend to do best, while trend tends to suffer an initial drawdown. But then if a trend develops in the market, whether it's up or down, that trend exposure can capitalize on that quite well. And because our trend strategy and these new identified strategies are multi-asset by design, they are able to perform in more markets than just equity markets as well, which provides a bigger sandbox to find opportunities in. Slide 15 then puts together the hypothetical portfolio. So this table is looking at recent periods of equity market drawdown, how Cicera's growth portfolio did during that period, how the current RDP portfolio did, and what a portfolio that was allocated a portion to the phase one identified managers would have done. This is using monthly net data rebalanced monthly. So for example, most recently with the Iran conflict, February and March 2026 together saw the growth portfolio down about 2.2%. The current RDP portfolio was down about 20 bips, and the mock portfolio would have returned a positive 20 bips. I would say the main takeaway from this slide is not the absolute numbers themselves, but the general direction of the numbers. Allocating a portion of RDP to these positive convexity type strategies will help improve RDP's overall resiliency during periods of equity market drawdown. So next slide is...
Just one question on that. And you said it was rebalanced monthly.
Yes.
In this scenario. Is that our general practice? Do we rebalance monthly? Like are we looking at numbers that actually we could have actually done if we had this?
We're not rebalancing monthly, but the numbers aren't moving dramatically. We're monitoring on a monthly basis, we're rebalancing on an as needed basis, which usually is 2 to 3 times a year. But for the sake of building a model here, I think this is largely representative of reality because the numbers aren't moving against each other too dramatically.
So the next slide, slide 16, this goes to the performance question. So can this be done without sacrificing returns? So the answer here is largely yes. Phase one managers are not meant to be drivers of performance for RDP, but they are meant to be offsetting some of the performance volatility experienced elsewhere in the portfolio. So the table here shows that over time, this is largely the case. The first column is our current RDP portfolio, annualizing at 1.8% from 2010 to the end of March, with an annualized standard deviation of monthly returns at 3.4%. With the inclusion of managers identified in phase one, over that same time period, hypothetical returns are 2.2, with an annualized return volatility of returns of 2.8, and improved correlation and beta metrics to the growth portfolio. Again, I would not be too concerned with the absolute numbers, but rather the general direction of the numbers. We expect annualized return to be roughly the same, but we do expect an improvement to the volatility of returns, as well as the correlation and beta of RDP to the growth portfolio. Slide 17, this is also a very lengthy slide, but this is the research process for phase one illustrated here. Essentially, over the last several quarters, investment staff conducted due diligence on 12 managers offering relevant strategies. This included one-on-one meetings with each manager to learn about their investment strategies, investment processes, and go through trade examples, talk through performance, and really probing when something was unexpected in our research, and then comparing that across the 12 managers. This led investment staff to pass on 8 managers for a variety of reasons illustrated there. And then of the 4 identified for further research, investment staff then conducted additional analysis into performance and attribution and sub-strategies. This then narrowed down the list to a subset of managers for on-site investment due diligence and operational due diligence that was conducted with our consultant, and that was done earlier this year. We are now close to funding the identified managers, and that should wrap up and hopefully fund this quarter. So moving on to phase two, which investment staff, this is slide 18, which investment staff kickstarted this year in conjunction with phase one to be cognizant of certain higher conviction managers that were nearing capacity in closing to new capital. So the goal of phase two is to provide RDP and the greater Sisera portfolio with diversifying return streams that is uncorrelated to broader equity market drawdowns and can provide good risk-adjusted returns across market cycles. So managers identified in this phase of research are not meant to be a source of regular funding during periods of market dislocation. But as a flip side to that, we do expect these strategies identified to provide consistent uncorrelated returns over time and allowing for strategic rebalancing. Phase two research, so slide 19, is meant to further diversify RDP on top of what phase one aims to accomplish. So in the first half of this year, investment staff had prioritized research into multi-strategy funds, both across single PM or portfolio manager, multi-portfolio manager, as well as across fundamental versus more systematic type strategies. This research is still ongoing, but so far investment staff has identified one high conviction manager that is going through the underwriting process at the moment. This slide is showing how the addition of phase two identified managers thus far continues to be value add to the portfolio, so building on that earlier slide that we looked at. So for example here, with a 10% allocation to phase two for the time being and the identified phase one managers, that increases annualized return potential for RDP while decreasing annualized volatility and maintaining favorable correlation and beta metrics. Again, wouldn't be too concerned with the absolute numbers, but the general direction of the numbers. The next slide is looking at the drawdown profile. So a familiar chart. The gray line here is the growth portfolio. The pink one is the current risk diversifying portfolio. And the green line is that hypothetical portfolio inclusive of allocations to phase one and phase two identified managers. That green line is behaving as we would like to see versus the pink line, with that line spending more time close to the zero line axis. And an improvement on the resiliency and robustness of that portfolio. The next slide, similar to the research process for phase one, investment staff followed a very similar order for phase two. So specific to multi-strategy related strategies, investment staff reviewed 33 different firms offering relevant products. Those meetings all occurred either through Zoom or Teams or in person, and those introductions came either from investment staff's prior relationships, capital introduction, or our general consultant, Bikita, or word-of-mouth recommendations from peers. Of those 33, a majority were passed on for a variety of reasons, also as illustrated on the table. We are close to funding one strategy in this phase and are conducting ongoing research for potential additional investments in the multi-strat space, as well as other strategies that may be value add for this phase. And then the last slide, this is just an illustrative timeline for research. So we're still working through revising trend in phase one to hopefully find a complementary strategy to our current exposure, to bring down that single manager exposure slightly and to hopefully further complement that return profile as well. Additionally, investment staff continues to conduct manager research into other complementary strategies in the macro and long short equity space, which will be ongoing throughout the rest of this year and into 2027 and 2028.
Yes, please. So with this picture, this is our own data, right? Using our own data.
Yes, this is using our own data.
So I understand the presentation is really focused on the risk control. And do we have a research on the market, when the market is growing, and what is the impact of this RDP on our growth portfolio? Meaning that our growth portfolio was able to catch all the upside and due to the this RDP? So if not, what is the impact on our growth in portfolio? Do we have that kind of research? Meaning the other side of the, because here is the downside, right?
Yes.
Do we have the upside when the market is really doing quite well, which in the past 15, 16 years is the norm?
Yeah, so over the last 5 years, for example, annualized return for RDP has been around 2%. That is versus the growth portfolio, which I think is closer to 8 or 9%.
Yeah.
So it is true that the RDP will not be capturing all of the growth portfolio's upside. The growth portfolio has a very high correlation in beta to broader equity markets. And so we've been in a very strong equity markets over the last several years. And so as equity markets are going up, we should expect the growth portfolio to do particularly well. What this chart is showing, though, is that the opposite can also be true, right? And so we want the RDP portfolio to really be serving as a ballast for the overall Cicera portfolio because we have this return engine with the growth portfolio. From a risk management perspective, RDP is supposed to be uncorrelated to that. We want it to be able to perform less poorly during those down markets, which on the offset of that means that it should also perform less well during those broad equity market rallies.
Yeah, I understand all those, but I'm just saying, do we have a research? Can we do a research to show us the upside, the impact of this RDP?
Yeah,
so we are, give us the both pictures.
Yes.
I understand this is focusing on the risk control. I totally
Really, when we take a look at the portfolio, it's 70% growth, it's 10% risk diversifying. So we are counting on the market, you know, trending up over time. It's just those dislocations we want to be able to take advantage of here. But yeah, we can show you the upside exposure.
Okay,
and certainly the quarterly report addresses all the long-term upside from the growth portfolio and breaks them out separately.
Yeah, we're happy to provide that. It's a very
Thank
easy.
You.
Yeah.
Well, I guess one interest would be if we use the RDP to help deploy capital and take advantage of down markets, to see a slingshot effect on the upside, to see how effective that strategy is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, and we did that during some of the rebalancing during COVID in 2020. Of moving money out of risk diversifying into the equity markets, capturing that upside. I don't have that number right in front of me, but we did provide that at the time, what that upside capture was.
Yeah. Any other questions? For the new board members, we traditionally do a final exam at the end of each meeting, and five of the questions will be on this topic.
We all have exemptions.
Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Thank you.
Tim, you're still up, I think.
I am. Unfortunately, you're going to have to hear from me a little bit more today.